Blog Talk Radio.
Come on, can we just take a second? Come on, right now, just tell them how grateful you are. There's a lot of other people in a lot of different places tonight. Some people are lifting up their eyes in heaven. Some people are looking at doctors, scratching their heads. Somebody just found out some bad news. But tonight, God chose to shower down His presence in this place. Come on, tell Him how grateful you are. Father, we could be anywhere else tonight. We could be standing anywhere else, but you chose this moment of destiny for us to stand and to do the thing that causes us to be fulfilled, which is to worship you, which is to praise you. We were created for no other reason tonight but to lift our hands, to open up our mouths, to forget about what's going on around us, to forget about a program and a schedule. Father, you told us to come into this place and to magnify your name. And so, Father, that's what we do. We say that you are our refuge. You are our strong tower. We run into you and find safety. You are not our last resort. You are our only resort. Father, we come into this place tonight to lift up holy hands to our God. You said that if we ignited something and if we would initiate something in earth, that you would show out in heaven and cause the rain of God to fall in this place. So rain of God, fall again. Glory of God, fall again. Anointing of God, fall again. Favor of God, fall again. Healing of God, fall again. Oh, how we love you. Oh, how we love you.
Oh, how we
praise you.
Yeah.
Oh, how we worship.
Oh, how we worship.
the stars of it. The moon in my night sky, my vision when I'm blind. When I quit, you still fight, you fight for me. Sometimes my very best is all
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Prolific Fire. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you for taking the time to join me on tonight. I pray that the Lord will bless you tonight through the word. The two songs I played for tonight to open the service up was Oh How We Love You Prayer by Bashir Hilliard and Oxygen by Stephanie Gretzinger. With that being said, let's not waste any time. Let's get right into the word for tonight. Thank you, everybody, listening on the phone line, listening online, listening through the podcast, listening through Twitter or Facebook. However you're listening, whether you're listening live or later, thank you. Father God, in the name of Jesus, God, I thank you for another opportunity, Lord God, to sit before your people to tell them what thus says the Lord God. And I pray on tonight, God, that your name may get all the glory, God. Sit me down and use me mightily, Lord God. In the name of Jesus, amen. Tonight, the foundational text comes from Genesis chapter 30, verses 1 through 8. It's Genesis chapter 30, verses 1 through 8 from the NIV. When Rachel saw that she was not bearing Jacob any children, she became jealous of her sister. So she said to Jacob, "Give me children or I'll die." Jacob became angry with her and said, "Am I in the place of God who has kept you from having children?" Then she said, "Here is Bilhah, my servant. Sleep with her so that she can bear children for me, and I too can build a family through her." So she gave him her servant Bilhah as a wife. Jacob slept with her, and she became pregnant and bore him a son. Then Rachel said, "God has vindicated me. He has listened to my plea and given me a son." Because of this, she named him Dan. Rachel's servant Bilhah conceived again and bore Jacob a second son. Then Rachel said, "I have had a great struggle with my sister, and I have won." So she named him Naphtali. Now, just to be sure, that we are all on one accord tonight. Before going any farther, let me throw it back a minute. Let me throw it back a minute, all the way to Genesis 29. Is it just me, or didn't the Bible make a special point of letting us know in Genesis 29 that Rachel was beautiful and she had a lovely figure? Remember reading that in Genesis 29? Rachel was beautiful and she had a lovely figure. But not only was she beautiful with a lovely figure, didn't the Bible also let us know that she was young, younger than her sister Leah? And that Jacob was so in love with her that he was willing to work his tail off, so to speak, just to have her. But about Leah, all the Bible had to say was that she had weak eyes. Remember reading that? She had weak eyes, and she was older, older than her sister, Rachel. Still in tonight's text, it's not Leah, but Rachel. Beautiful, fine Rachel. Young, youthful-looking Rachel. The same Rachel that had Jacob over there working hard for her hand in marriage. She's the one that breaks down and admits in the opening verse in Genesis 30:1. She's the one that breaks down and admits to being jealous of her sister, Leah. She is the one that breaks down and admits that she's jealous of her sister, Leah. Leah, the sister that was just older. Leah, the sister that was just looked at as older, looked at as just having a sight problem, which probably contributed to her not being as attractive. She's the one Rachel had to end up admitting she was jealous of. Somebody under the sound of my voice, you've had a sibling recently come to you. You've had a sibling recently come to you and have to admit they're jealous of you. But you don't understand. But you don't understand. Why would they be jealous of you, of all people? So tonight, we're here to get to the root of what you already know. So tonight, we're here to get to the root of what you already know. That person right there, maybe it's not a sibling, maybe it's somebody else in your family, but that person right there within the family is jealous of you. Jealousy within the family. Tonight's message. I'll say it again because I know many of you can relate. Tonight's message is jealousy within the family. But love, let me start off by saying, oftentimes, it's not even about how they see you. Oftentimes, it's not even about how they see you, but how they see themselves. That's what creates the jealousy. Oftentimes, it's not about how they see you. Oh, no, no, no. But how they see themselves. That's what creates the jealousy. Have you ever stopped to think? You know I like to make you think on prolific fire, so here comes a relevant question. Have you ever stopped to think that just because everybody else sees that person a certain way, that maybe they don't see themselves that way? Have you ever stopped to think that just because everybody else sees that person a certain way, that maybe they don't see themselves that way? That may not be the way they see themselves. And so they find themselves inwardly comparing themselves to you because your life, your self-esteem, is the more stable of the two. Between you and them, your life and your self-esteem is more stable, if the truth be told. Everybody around Rachel saw her as the beautiful one. But the Bible never said that Rachel considered herself to be beautiful. Again, think with me tonight on prolific fire. Everybody around Rachel saw her as the beautiful one. But the Bible never said that Rachel considered herself to be beautiful. What if inwardly she saw herself as the ugly one, as the ugly sister? And out of insecurity came her jealousy towards her sister Leah. And out of insecurity came her jealousy towards her sister Leah, especially now since Leah had begun to have children by Jacob. Especially now since Leah had begun to have children by Jacob. While she, as beautiful as she was, while she, Rachel, as beautiful as she was still barren. You see, beloved, you can be beautiful and still be barren. You can be young and shaped like a Coca-Cola bottle and still be barren, lacking the ability to produce. And this was Rachel's problem in tonight's foundational text. She was all that and more to the people who saw her, who knew her, but yet everything she was fleeting. She was all that in a bag of chips to everybody that saw her, to everybody that knew her. And perhaps she wasn't all of that to herself. But yet everything that they were looking at, everything that she was fleeting. Her beauty was fleeting. Her body shape and all was fleeting, meaning it won't last according to Proverbs 31 and 30 from the New Living Translation. But you may not be the most attractive, hear me, but you may not be the most attractive. You may not have the best body, and you may not have a man, have a woman working overtime to get with you. You may not be the most attractive. You may not have the best body. And you may not have a man or a woman working overtime the way Jacob was to get with you. But still, that sister, that brother, that family member is so incredibly jealous of you because you're producing. They're jealous of you because you're producing. Your life is fruitful. And people are drawn to you not because of your looks, but because of your character. And people are drawn to you not because of your looks, but because of your character. In Proverbs 31 and 10, the Bible says this about character, and I paraphrase it. The Bible lets us know in 31:10 that the character is far more precious than rubies when looking for a wife. That the character of a woman is far more precious than rubies when looking for a wife. Character is so important. You guys, character is so important. Nowadays, even bosses in schools will look you up on social media. You wouldn't even think they would be on Facebook looking or Instagram looking, but they do it because character is so important. Nowadays, even bosses in schools will look you up on social media and check out your character before hiring you on the job or accepting you in their school. So what is character? That's a good question. Since it's so important, I think we really need to know what it is. What is character? Character is an evaluation of an individual's stable moral qualities. Character is an evaluation of an individual's stable moral qualities. It's what makes you not have to dress up and pretend to be something or someone you're not. It's what makes you not have to dress up or pretend to be something or someone you're not. You don't have to dress up, look all fancy with the latest name brands or drop names of who you know to get people to notice you. And that's another reason people are jealous of you, family members are jealous of you. You don't have to dress up. You put on what you put on, and it's still the same thing. The outcome is still the same. You don't have to dress up, look all fancy with the latest name brands, or drop names of who you know to get people to notice you. And that family member is so jealous. And for somebody, God says, it's your own mother. It's your own mother. The same way I believe that the mother in Matthew 14 was jealous of her daughter, I do believe that somebody on tonight is having that same issue with your mother, because God says it's your mother that can't stand the fact that you don't have to try so hard. You don't have to try so hard to get attention. You don't have to try so hard to get noticed. You don't have to try. It just comes natural based on your character, based on the fact that God's favor surrounds you. God's favor surrounds you like a shield. And when his favor surrounds you like that, hear me, and when his favor surrounds you like that, people are automatically drawn to you. People are automatically drawn to you, regardless of your look. Psalms 5 and 12. Now, you need to remember how all this drama got started in the first place. It was in Genesis 29 when Jacob wanted to marry Rachel. He was in love with Rachel, but ended up married to and sleeping with her sister Leah on the night of their honeymoon. Now, here's what's interesting to me. The Bible says in Genesis 29 that Leah's face was covered, so he didn't know that it wasn't Rachel. So he didn't know, Jacob didn't know that it wasn't Rachel the first time he slept with Leah. Okay, I'll give Jacob a pass on that one. Notice I said on that one. He didn't know that it wasn't Rachel. But what about after he found out? What about after he found out? When he found out it was Leah, and he kept sleeping with her 2 times, 3 times, 4 times, etc. Don't be fooled. Hear me. Don't be fooled. Looks are not everything. That proves it. If looks was everything, he wouldn't have kept sleeping with her, with her weak eyes and her older self. But he kept sleeping with her, so looks are not everything. Most men want something that's not fleeting. And remember, the Bible says that beauty is fleeting. Most men want something that is not fleeting. Rachel's beauty would eventually fade. It would eventually flee. And most men want something that is not fleeting. They want something that will last. I'm just saying. Somebody. So that family member is really jealous of you because you have a marriage that has lasted. Somebody, you have a family member that is really jealous of you. It ain't got nothing to do with your looks. It ain't got nothing to do with your body. It ain't got nothing even to do with your character, not on this one. Somebody, that family member is really jealous of you because you have a marriage that has lasted and is lasting. You're in a relationship that's not fleeting. You're in a relationship that is not fleeting, and they can't stand it because they want your relationship to just not last, to just dissolve and just go away the way that theirs did. The Bible says, be on guard and stay awake. Be on guard and stay awake. Your enemy, the devil, is like a roaring lion. It didn't say he was a lion. Many people mistake that. It didn't say he was a lion. It says he's like a roaring lion. In other words, he imitates a roaring lion, sneaking around to find someone to attack. He sneaks around to find someone to attack. 1 Peter 5 and 8, Contemporary English Version, CEB. And in all his roaming, all his sneaking around, when the devil finds that kind of strife within a family, jealousy, strife, excessive competitiveness, it becomes a door for the devil to enter. The devil roams around, he sneaks around, and when he finds strife, like what was going on between Rachel and Leah and Jacob, when he finds that kind of strife within a family, it may not be this same scenario, this same storyline, but whatever the storyline is, when he finds strife and jealousy and excessive competitiveness within a family, it becomes a door for the devil to enter. And he enters and goes to work. He goes to work on them in their heart. And next thing you know, he goes to work on them in their heart and in their mind, especially in their mind. Next thing you know, you have a family member or family members, plural. You have siblings jealous of you and acting out. Next thing you know, you have family members, siblings, jealous of you and acting out, acting like they're in competition with you, a competition you know nothing about or even care about. They start acting out, acting like they're in a competition with you, a competition you know nothing about or even care about. Acting like there's something to be won. They start acting like there's something to be won or something to be lost, when all you're trying to do is live your life, mind your business, and make a decent living, a decent income for the hard work you do. But all you over there in your little part of the world trying to do, your little corner of the world, as your house trying to do, is live your life, mind your business, and make a decent living, a decent income for the hard work you do. But here your sibling is, here your family member is, acting like they're in competition with you, a competition you didn't even know existed. But unfortunately, while you're trying to live your life and mind your business, you got people like Rachel in your family who just won't let you be great without them trying to be greater. Unfortunately, you have people in your family like Rachel who won't just let you be great without them trying to be greater. Rachel admitted it in the last verse of tonight's foundational text. She went on and admitted it. Genesis 30, verse 8 from the NIV. Then Rachel said, I have had a great struggle with my sister, and I have won. So she named him Naphtali. What struggle? Was there a struggle? And I missed it. Was there a competition? What win? And when was the win? What was there to win or lose, for that matter? Funny, because it seemed more like, it went like this to me. Funny, it seems like this. Seems like it went like this. You have a baby. They're trying to have one, too. You get this job, they got to get that job. You move into that house, they're hating on you, jealous of you and your new house, etc. Every bit and every bit of what they're feeling is real. It's real. And there is competition, whether you know it and choose to participate in it or not. And the competition and every bit of what they're feeling is all in their mind. Remember I said that the devil, when he sees the door open for strife and jealousy and excessive competition in a family, when he sees that type of strife, no matter what the storyline is, no matter what the drama is about, whether it's a three-part scenario like tonight or something else, whatever the drama is, whatever the storyline is, when he sees those three things, when he sees strife, jealousy, and excessive competitiveness, it becomes a door for him to open up and come in. And when he comes in, he attacks the heart and he attacks the mind, but mainly the mind. There is a competition, and there is a competition whether you know it or not, and there is something going on with them whether you know it or not and choose to participate in it or not. But it's all in their mind. It's all in their mind, in their overactive imagination. It's in their overactive imagination. That's why the Bible tells us to cast down every imagination that presents itself against the knowledge of God. Is in their overactive imagination. The bottom line is, the root of the whole issue is, because they inwardly feel some type of way about themselves, they start taking it out on you. Because they are insecure about some things, they start taking it out on you. I'll say it again for somebody. Because they're inwardly feeling some type of way about themselves. In other words, they don't feel good about themselves. They may look good, be beautiful, be fine on the outside, but on the inside, they're missing something. And they don't feel good about themselves. They feel some type of way about themselves, and they're taking it out on you. Because they're insecure about some things, they're taking it out on you. As I said earlier, oftentimes it's not even about how they see you, but about how they see themselves. In closing, remember this. In closing, remember this. Even the most beautiful person who seems to have it all, like Rachel, even the most beautiful person who seems to have it all can have low self-esteem and be insecure about what they do have, insecure about their relationship, insecure about their marriage, or just plain barren, lacking the ability to produce. And in their quest to outdo you, to one-up you, because remember, in their mind, it's a competition, so they're always seeking to outdo you, to one-up you, low self-esteem has created an open door for jealousy to creep in. Insecurity has opened a door for jealousy to creep in, even among family. Jealousy within the family. Let's pray. Father God, I pray for that one who is carrying a spirit like Rachel and causing confusion within the family. I pray they be delivered, healed from not being able to see themselves as others see them, and they're wasting their beauty, wasting their looks on nothing, on strife, on jealousy, on being insecure for no reason. I bind the spirit of jealousy on tonight, and I bind the spirit of insecurity in the name of Jesus. Somebody, all insecurity is fear. All insecurity is fear. And God has not given you the spirit of fear, but he's given you a sound mind. But he has given you a sound mind. Receive it. He has given you power. Receive it. 2 Timothy 1:7, New King James. And I plead the blood of Jesus over every person who's listening, whether you're the one jealous or the one being put in a position of jealousy. Be healed, be delivered, be set free. In the name of Jesus, amen. Now, Father God, look upon that one feeling vulnerable, jealous, insecure, and fill them with your presence tonight. Fill them with your Holy Spirit. Let them come to know you and always accept Jesus as their Lord and Savior. Clean them up, change them up, fill them up with your presence, so that insecurity, so that jealousy, so that the vulnerable feelings will go away. In the name of Jesus, amen. And make them fit for use in your kingdom. Use them, Lord, like they've never been used before. Show them that you have need of them, that you are the one that needs them. Regardless of how they look at themselves, you need them. You see them as beautiful. You see them as handsome. You see them the way no one else sees them. And you know, and you're still willing to accept them on tonight. Therefore, Father, if you receive them, then we receive them. And on tonight, everybody under the sound of my voice, rejoice, because somebody is coming home. When they hear this message, they're coming home, coming into the kingdom to be a part of our family. And for that, we rejoice like the angels rejoice. This concludes the message for tonight. I pray that somebody was richly blessed by the word on tonight. If you need prayer, hear me. If you need prayer, a Bible-based consultation, you can always call or text. It don't matter. You can call or text whatever's best for you. 865-408-8690. Again, the number is 865-408-8690. Or you can email prophetessstacy@prolificfire.com. prophetessstacy@prolificfire.com. However, if you're on the phone lines right now via Block Talk Radio, I do not believe that you're there in vain. If you're on the phone lines tonight via Block Talk Radio and you have a specific prayer need other than what we just prayed about, other than what we just ministered about and prophesied about, then press 1 on your phone. Just press 1 on your phone. That's all you have to do. That'll let me know that you need prayer. I can see everybody's number. No names, but I can see your number. from my switchboard, from my computer. And if you press 1 on your phone, it'll let me know that you need prayer. Again, I cannot see your name, just your number. And I'm not going to call out your full number. You don't have to worry. I don't do that on Prolific Fire. No, no, no. But if you press 1, I will come on and pray with you. And we can defeat that devil together that's trying to destroy whatever he's trying to steal, kill, and destroy in your life. It can be dealt with on tonight. Together, we are stronger. Stronger together. So let's pray. Let's get it done. If that's you, if you need prayer, if you need to get some things done tonight, I will be right back with you after these last few announcements. So press 1. Get your prayer request in your hand and press 1. Now, if you need this ministry's PayPal info or Cash App info, only if the Lord is leading you to sow. Only if he's leading you to sow now. Otherwise, don't worry about it. But if he's leading you to sow and you need this information, the PayPal information is paypal.me/prolificfire. That's paypal.me/prolificfire. Or Cash App, Prolific Fire. The Cash App is the dollar symbol and Prolific Fire. The P in Prolific is capital. The F in Fire is capital, written all together. Also, check out the website, prolificfire.com. Everything I mentioned from donating, from prayer requests, all of that can be done on the website. Also, if you're somebody that has pain, and let's face it, we all have some type of pain, whether it's physical, emotional, financial, or otherwise, we all have pain. If you have pain that needs to be dealt with because you can train the pain to work for you, the Lord has given me strategies on how to deal with pain and get it to work for you. So if you would like a session with me on how to train the pain to work for you, the price is $20 for 2020. God told me to lower the price to $20 for 2020. So if that's you, if you need a session with me, you know you need a session, jump on the website, fill out the information, and let's do this. We can do this on a one-on-one session. Also, if you love children the way that I love children, if you have a passion for children, especially children in need, and you want to become a World Vision sponsor, you can find out about that on the website. Many of you know that I've been a World Vision sponsor for over 20 years. The Lord has blessed me to sponsor many children over the years. Currently, I sponsor 7. I love my 7. I'm not asking you to love 7, just love 1. So if you really want to do that, jump on the website. There's information about how to do that on the website. Also, it'll let you sponsor a child right there on the website. Or you can call me at that same number I just gave out, 865-408-8690. You can call me as well in response to the children if you want to become a sponsor. That would be greatly appreciated. Thanking you in advance on behalf of the children. It's an honor to be a World Vision Child Ambassador for the kids. And as usual, you can find me on Twitter at Prolific Fire, on Instagram at Property Safety, and like the Prolific Fire Ministry Facebook page. Also, if you need to, you can DM me, inbox me on either one of those platforms. People do all the time. So if that's the way you prefer to communicate, that's fine as well. Then join us Friday night for Faith on the Line with Prophetess Paige. It's a time of prayer and encouragement. Friday night, 8 Eastern, 7 Central, 5 Pacific, by calling the number, the same number that many of you called tonight, 347-426-3782. Again, the number 347-426-3782. That's Faith on the Line with Prophetess Paige. If you don't get your prayer request in on tonight, or if you don't reach out to me in private, this is your next opportunity to receive prayer. Meet us in prayer, because God will be there. Meet us in prayer Friday night by calling the same number that many of you call tonight. Your prayer request will be taken then too, so call in. Then join me, yours truly, Prophetess Stacy, right back here on Prolific Fire, same night, time, and place, where the message will be how to deal with church hurt. Wow, that's something that most of us can relate to, and it should be interesting. If that's you, you need to join me on Monday night, same night, time, and place. The message again is how to deal with church hurt. To God be the glory.
Okay, it appears that there are no live prayer requests for tonight. So I'm just going to end the broadcast now by saying everybody have a blessed night. I love you, and I will see you on Friday. I'm out.